Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Another fantastic Thursday. I'm not sure what the weather is like. It feels like it's kind of warm to me. I haven't really gone outside today, so. But in any case, without further ado, I have promoted this wonderful, beautiful, beautiful woman. And she is one of my few doctors that has been on my show. I'm happy to introduce Dr. Felicia Stoller. Welcome, Felicia. And Felicia is, by the way, America's health and wellness expert.
Yes.
So welcome, Felicia.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's my pleasure. It was destiny. It was destiny.
Yes, it was.
That we met
destiny over karaoke, right?
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Yes, and I'm very happy about that because it was kind of a hit and miss for me. I don't go all the time. So it was just, like I said, it was just one of those meant to be. And it was, I think, a big occasion. I think it was a birthday or,
I
don't know. It was either a birthday or it was the last night at Sawa. No, it wasn't the last. I think it was a birthday.
It wasn't the last night. It was getting closer.
Yeah, it was like one more week or something. It was going to be ending there and then starting up
right.
A new club.
Right,
but anyway,
right,
so,
right.
Okay, well, I know about you because I've done the research, of course, and you with your help, which, you know, you were so kind to provide. I usually just do it all myself, and then whatever I do, people go, oh, that was great, Nancy, because, you know, I love to write promotion. But so just tell us about, I'm going to ask you the first question, and I only ask one question on my show. I used to ask a lot when I did the hour in person, but this is the question. Who inspired you the most while you were growing up, and why?
The person who inspired me the most growing up was my grandmother. And the reason is she just always was filled with love. There was always an abundance of hugs. I don't think we ever could have done anything wrong in her eyes. She spoiled us, and I think I got a lot of my qualities as to who I am from her. You know, my father often kids around with me. He's like, you know, you're just like your grandmother. And you don't realize that, you know, maybe when you're younger, the things that you sort of pick up and maybe those are even more subtle influences as you get older. You know, she was always a leader in her community and in social organizations and groups that she's in. And, you know, she always had a big mouth in a totally different way than I do. And I think my love,
you have to explain that a little more.
Well, I think I have a big mouth, I think my big mouth is different in that I do stuff in the media, you know, and I definitely am a big advocate for things that I feel strongly about. Yeah, and then the other thing too is that she used to really love to cook, and she I think that's where I got some of that from because you know my mom would cook but to her cooking was almost like a chore or we'd have to hear about it. Like I never heard my grandmother complain about cooking, and you know the more the merrier at her holiday tables. And anytime I wanted to try some wacky fruit or vegetable that I would read about, like in 17 magazine, you know, when I was a teenager, she would always get my grandfather to get for me. So he was in the fruit and vegetable business in New York. So he, you know, would get that kind of stuff for me. And I think that's where some of my pleasure and enjoyment around food, specifically around, you know, entertaining, or I feel like when I cook a meal, whether it be just for my immediate family or when I do a big holiday, I feel like that's how I share and show my love to the people I care about.
Oh, exactly.
Including my friends.
I can relate.
And
I can relate.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
And
I wanted to ask you, was your grandmother this on your father's side or your mother's side?
It was my father's mother. My mom, I never had the chance to meet my mother's mother. She passed away when my mom was 15 years old, and I'm named after her.
Oh,
so.
I'm so sorry. Oh,
so
I'm
I
so
only
sorry.
Had one grandma, but I also had a great-grandmother,
right.
And I had lots of aunts and great-aunts and uncles. So
that's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's great. I can really relate to, I come from a very large Irish, German Catholic family, and my mother was a phenomenal cook. She learned from, actually, my father was a smart guy. He met my mother when she was only 15. By 16, my mother was learning how to cook from his mother, who was a wonderful cook, and she was full-on German. And my father was an Irish, full-on Irish, and so he was like a meat and potatoes, but everything else on the table as well. You know, we had the full, every night we had a feast, to tell you the truth, when I think about it. And there were 9 in my family, so lots of children. And then on the holidays, it was even like, it was like a total on, like the Roman day feast. You know, we wouldn't just have a turkey. We would have then a roast beef. We would have a fresh ham. We would have like so much food and so many people, like 27 to 30 people at the table. And it was just totally festive. Love the food, love each other, love. I mean, it was just, I grew up around that. And I had a grandmother like yours. She wasn't active like your grandmother, but she was very dear to me, and it was my mother's mother. I was close to both of my grandmothers, but my mother's mother, I used to go every Friday to from school. I would walk there, and she would have cooked me a chicken breast. And then you have to start talking again because I'm talking. Oh, here's my chicken. Okay, I'm going to stop now. I'll pick that up in another day. But my grandmother was great. She would go, oh, no, Nancy. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. It's Friday. You're not supposed to eat meat, because I went to Holy Spirit Grammar School. Anyway, she was giving me chicken every single Friday because I was like a little sickly when I was younger. I used to get strep throat every winter. So she was trying to keep me really, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. So she was trying to, I don't know what she was doing, but she didn't care about me. She wanted me to have my chicken sandwich on Pepperidge Farm bread with a big, delicious Carnation Instant chocolate malted milk. So anyway, there's my grandmother's story. So
I love it.
Getting back to you with your, that's a wonderful, wonderful experience with food, especially at an early age. You know, we're very blessed to have that in our lives. So going from there and your love of food, you know, just tell me like about kind of high school, like what you were doing in high school. I loved it that you mentioned 17 Magazine. I hadn't thought about it in literally years. And I'm sure there are magazines for girls today are a lot different than they were back when.
Right. Well, they still, well, you know, I have a daughter that is in college, and I can say when she was going through high school, she did not read any of those magazines. I got very lucky that she was not one of those girls obsessed with, you know, what was in the magazines or who, you know, the who, what, when, where, how. So any of that sort of, you know, mystique that some people perceive gets brainwashed into our children because of, you know, magazines. And, you know, I mean, granted, she's on social media. I can say that, you know, she wasn't really impacted by those sort of, you know, whether it be images or stories or, you know, maybe in a different way than magazines
right.
were of our, you know, of my generation.
Right,
so,
but wait a minute. I thought you were in college. Under your picture, Charlie put,
yeah,
what a gorgeous PhD, and then I put to him, hey, wait a minute, what am I, chopped liver? But you know what, it inspired me, because you can't really see my pictures all kind of, it was not, you know, somebody else did it for me, and it needs to be improved, but I'm going to be doing a new logo this year because of that comment, and my sister gave me the most fabulous for my birthday, a carousel, and she was like, I didn't even notice there was a carousel in your logo, Nancy. So I'm having my best friend, Jeff Crispy, he's not my best, but one of my close friends, he's the best photographer for 4 years in a row. I'm going to do a new logo and have the carousel behind me. It's very colorful and wild.
Oh, that's great.
And I just can't wait to do it. Yeah. So
that's great.
So when you were in high school, you were athletic, I take it? You were like into sports?
I was athletic. I ran track. Yeah, I did a little bit of soccer, did a little bit of cheerleading. I did student leadership. And, you know, I did some volunteer work. I used to be a candy striper back when that was the PC term for a junior volunteer, or whatever they call it now. Yep. Yeah, I did that at, Freehold Area Hospital, now Centra State. So I've always, you know, volunteering's always been something that's very important to me. And when I went to college, I mean, another thing too that's interesting, I was one of the few girls that used to go to a gym, like a traditional gym. They weren't very popular back in the early 80s.
I went to the YMCA.
Yeah, we didn't even have that, you know, anywhere near where I had grown up.
I mean, it was women.
Right. But we just didn't have, you know, it was different, the whole mentality and philosophy about fitness and physical activity and health and working out is so different now than it was back then, you know, back then. And when I took dancing classes too, I used to dance. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I used to do to be physically active and try to maintain a lot of that through college. And really the big difference was, you know, after college, starting to work in New York and working like 18-hour days and, you know, not having a lot of downtime.
Right. That's hard to fit in. Your exercise, you know, when you're doing that, for sure.
Right. Or learning how to eat right. I mean, that's something I really never did until I went to a dietitian and exercise physiologist, and then she inspired me to change careers.
Okay. Well, I need your help. I mean, I put that in here. I said, I am definitely looking forward to this show because, and I want to pick your brain while I have you, you know, because I guess I'm just going to come out with it. I usually don't come out with too many personal things. Well, yes, I do. I do. I have a problem with sugar. I mean, I absolutely have my entire life have a sweet tooth, and that's what I've called it. I've always called it that. And I also have to add on to it, I guess, absolutely zero discipline when it comes to the sugar. I say to myself, no, it's not good. Don't do it. And I just every single day, I think I'm getting better because at least I don't, I mean, even when I was younger, I used to hide my chocolate. You know why? Because I had so many brothers and sisters, and I had to because they would find my candy and eat it. That's how bad it was. I would go to the store and buy all this sugar, and I had a lot of energy anyway, but it would give me even more energy. So I was an ice skater, and I could ice skate for like 8 hours straight and ride my bicycle and run like crazy. I could outrun, any guy in the school. I mean, it was just like I had all this energy, but even today, at my age, like every day, I have to have that dark chocolate. I mean, it's just a must.
Well, as long as it's a little piece of dark chocolate, it's okay.
Well, I don't know how little it is. It's about, let's see, now I'm getting these new things that I buy, and they're individually wrapped, and they're dark chocolate with raw hazelnut in them. So, I mean, it's got to be over a tablespoon or 2 tablespoons of chocolate. And in the center, it's almost like a moussey. It's more a creamy chocolate. So, like, I don't know. I didn't read the ingredients, doctor. Doctor, I didn't read the ingredients. What am I going to do? I should read the ingredients, and maybe that will help turn me off of it. The 90% cocoa. I mean, I don't know. I don't eat granulated sugar ever. I haven't eaten that in, like, centuries.
So as far as chocolate goes or having a sweet tooth, you know, there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's not impacting your weight and it's not impacting your health. So, you know, I'm very much a purist in terms of all foods can fit and eat foods closer to the way they're found in nature. And we've managed over the years to develop chocolate and learn how to make chocolate. And there's milk chocolate and there's dark chocolate. And
I don't like milk chocolate. I only like dark chocolate. It's the only kind I'll eat. It's the only kind I like.
Yeah. So,
remind me. I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do now, Doctor. See, this is why, Felicia, I asked you. Because I know that at the health food stores, they sell a chocolate that is not the kind of American chocolate that we eat. And it's in a little ball, and the ball is like, looks like the earth. It's like the earth, but I don't know. And there's a name for it, and it's dark chocolate, but it's made from, it's a more pure. It's pure. It doesn't have a lot of additives to it or preservatives or anything like that. And I'm getting myself over to the health food store, and I'm going to get myself some, and that's it. And then when I finish the four bars that are in my refrigerator right now, I can start with a healthy alternative. And I really believe this about, I've been around long enough to know that when you stop what you perceive as maybe a bad habit, which, you know, to you, well, a piece or two is okay. Most people go, oh, are you kidding? I can't get that. I'll eat the whole box. Well, you know, I don't. I stop. I have one piece. I'm satisfied. That's it. But I still want to be even more pure because it's just, I know that it's really not good for you. And I lived in San Diego and worked for BodyWise International, a health and nutrition company, for 6.5 years. So I, you know, I'm aware, too, how important it is what you are, what you put in your body. Let's face the facts. Right? We
right.
are what we eat.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Anyway, I mean, I don't
absolutely.
Want to be a fanatic. I'm not a fanatic, though. I mean, I'm not a fanatic by any means. If I go to a birthday party and there's a cake there, well, I'm going to have a piece, but I just have a normal piece. I don't overdo it, which is good. Okay, so
right.
After,
well, it's important. It's important to have a taste. It's important to have a taste of everything and not to eliminate whole food groups or give yourself too many rules, because that's what puts people, you know, sets people up for failure, especially with New Year's resolutions.
Of course. Right. Exactly. And I don't do New Year's resolutions anyway. I used to, and I failed them all. So I said, why bother? It's just not, you know, it's not really healthy for my self-esteem to, like, make all of these unrealistic, you know, expectations of myself to only fail, you know, a week later. So I really don't make any. I mean, I think about it, but I don't, like, I used to, like, make a list and do all this. And no, I haven't done that in years and years and years. But, I just had a thought, and now I forgot what it was. Oh, darn it. Oh, yes, it was about how to, yeah. I was also a terrible soda drinker, and that is so addictive. And I stopped drinking that, and I started losing, and I have a thyroid condition since I'm 50, so that's like, 20 years now. So, but it never fluctuated, and I don't even take the medication when I'm supposed to. It's all different times. I don't drink a glass of water with it, but it never changes, so it's okay. I'm fine. My thyroid's fine. But I started losing like 2 pounds a week. I'm like, what's happening to me? I'm losing 2 pounds a week. Oh, my God, I'm getting down to where I'm like, I had to get, you know, skinnier jeans. So I had 8 jeans. I said, holy moly, I really thought it was my thyroid. I went to the doctor. Nope. It was I quit drinking soda. So folks out there, soda and plus. Now they're saying you can use it to take the color out of your hair if you want. And, of course, we know it takes 10 to a fuzz and stuff. Why is this stuff called soda?
I don't know. Diet Coke
and Diet Pepsi?
Those don't have sugar in them.
But even in the diet, it's aspartame free. Now they're putting, I guess, sucralose or something, what is it called? It begins with an S. Like all those chemicals, like aspartame and all of those diet sugars, they're not good for you either.
Right.
Doesn't it set your body up to thinking that you are having sugar when you're not having sugar? Like,
well,
it still,
yes,
puts weight
so
on
that,
even the diet soda.
Yes, it definitely. So what it does is it tricks your body, because what happens is, and I've been saying this for a long time, when you eat something sweet, you get the sensation of the sweetness on your tongue, which sends a message to your brain, right, to your hypothalamus.
Right.
And then your hypothalamus can send a message down to your pancreas to say, hey, something sweet's coming in. You better start making some insulin. So then insulin can actually be made, and it's not dose dependent. So it's not like insulin is created in our body based upon the presence or a certain level of sugar in our blood or glucose or carbohydrates in our bloodstream. So, you know, what happens is insulin puts things into cells. So it puts carbohydrates into cells, which we use for fuel, so glucose into cells. It also puts fat into fat cells. And we always have an abundance of fat circulating in our bodies.
Right.
So therefore,
right,
that's why it is not good that's why it is not good to, you know, drink diet sodas.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's like I have it, and believe me, this is not, it's not a New Year's resolution. But what happened with me was I thought, well, like after a year and a half, I thought, well, if I go out to dinner, which I do very rarely because, number one, I don't like eating what I don't see cooked. I don't like, I'm really kind of, I guess you would say I'm kind of, well, I'm not borderline. I am a germaphobic. I'm very, very picky about what I eat. I just, not picky eater. I love every, there's only, what do I, there, I think I could name on one hand how many things I don't eat, and one of them's anchovies, and that's not good for you anyway, too salty. But there's only a few things that I don't like to eat. I won't eat sushi because I won't eat raw food. It's got to be cooked. But anyway, there's very few things that I don't like to eat. So I grew up, in fact, eating, you really needed to eat everything. I won't eat liver. My father used to make us have cat's liver once a month, and I hated that. And I used to have to swish it when he wasn't looking off of my plate. And I would excuse myself and go put it down the toilet. Dad, I'm sorry. My dad's in heaven now, so he doesn't. But anyway, he probably knew it and just never said anything. But he thought that would make us very healthy, you know. So those are the few things that I won't eat. And other than that, I love to eat. I have a healthy appetite. Always have, and all of us do. But now I forgot my train of thought, too, about what you were saying. Oh, yeah, about the sugar. Okay, so I decided after the New Year, when I would go out, I'd say, well, I could have one soda with my dinner. I'm sure that's not going to, like, get me back on the, you know, the soda train. Well, little by little by little, after months, it did. It got me back to, picking up that very first soda and putting it in the cart and then drinking it because I love the bubbles. And I even did what Dr. Oz said. He said, get your favorite juice. And I would even get the all-natural 100% juice with no additives, and I'd put one shot glass of it in a glass, and then I would put club soda, sodium-free club soda in it for the fizzies.
Right.
And I thought, and for a long time, that satisfied me. It really did. And then I would put a fresh lemon in it. It would be like a spritzer. And I thought, well, this is very healthy for me. I'm liking this. I'm tired of it, just like with my yogurt. I mean, I did that yogurt for years. I'll never stop eating my yogurt again, ever. I don't care how sick I am of it. I will never stop again because it's the first time I got really sick. The day after my birthday, my big birthday bash, and you were there at the Asbury. 200.
Yes, it was
people.
Lovely.
It was a great party. It was
lovely.
Phenomenal. It was from start to finish. I'll never forget it. Thank you, Charlie. Good time, Charlie, my best male friend in the whole wide world. He's just a great guy. So, getting back to this nutrition thing, I stopped buying too. It's I guess it's sucralose. It's like Splenda, only it's cheaper, I guess. It's
mm-hmm.
So I was drinking that. I only drink one cup of coffee a day because I'm so hypo. I can't drink more coffee than that. So I only drink one real coffee, and I just got a gift card for Root. So I went in and I got their strongest Sumatra, and I had it for the first time yesterday morning, and I'm hooked, of course. So I'll have my one cup of that, and then I'll have a decaf, which is, you know, that's that. But anyway, I am now putting in, I went back to, and I don't know which is better, but I went back to the raw sugar from Hawaii. So I just put that in, and I did have the agave, too, the agave, and I don't like people go, well, use honey in your coffee. I go, honey in coffee, yuck. No, honey will destroy the flavor of the coffee. I like honey in tea, but not in coffee. So what
I'm a purist. I put no sweetener in my coffee.
Oh, how do you do that? Isn't it bitter, or you just get used to it?
Well, number one, I'm used to it. But the other thing is that I also drink, when I make coffee at home, I use a toddy. So I do a cold water brew, so the coffee is not bitter.
Yeah, I've had that in Hawaii. When I used to go to Maui a few times a year, not a few times a year. I would go like in a certain time of the year in April. And, we used to do the coffee that way too. The Hawaiian coffee, we used to cold brew. And
mm-hmm.
So it's not bitter. Yeah, well, I could cold brew my coffee. Can you do it in a regular French press, or do you have to have a special?
I think it has to go. I I've never tried it there. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that, so
no,
I can't
I mean,
tell you
I
that.
Have a cold press.
No, I don't know if it works that way because I do. I have a particular device that I have. It's sort of like a container. They actually sell them online, and you can get it at William and Sonoma. And what I do with it is you put a pound of coffee in. It's got a filter, and it's got a plug in the bottom. And I put the cold water in. I let it sit for 24 hours, and then I pull the plug out, and it goes through the filter. And then I keep that in the refrigerator. And if I want it hot, then I heat it. But usually I drink it – a lot of times I drink it cold, but sometimes I drink it hot. But, you know, the issue is when you heat up the grinds, the coffee grinds, that's what makes the bitterness happen. So if the coffee has already been made through the cold water process, I mean, maybe you could do it in a press, but I do it – I do a large batch at a time. So I usually do like 2 weeks' worth of coffee when I do it at once.
Then you have more than a cup a day or a large cup at least, right? A large cup, yeah. And you don't put any sugar or any cream, you just drink it?
I just put some milk in it.
Pure.
I put skim milk in it, and that's it. I'm a real purist.
Skim milk. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I only drink skim milk because I was lactose intolerant anyway, and I guess they say all people are. I don't know, but anyway.
No, all people
are
not lactose intolerant.
Oh, you know
that's a myth.
Oh, it is a myth? Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. I want to say, though, that I switched from but it can create – I thought when I quit drinking whole milk, like 2% milk, I went down to 1% milk. And I was getting, for the first time in my life in my 60s, acid reflux. I never had it before. I stopped drinking the milk, and I turned to skim milk, which I thought, I'll never drink that in my cereal or anything because I love milk, number one. I grew up drinking milk. And I was drinking at least 1 8-ounce glass of milk a day, at least, a minimum, and in addition to maybe with cereal or something. And so I switched to the skim milk, and I never, ever had, and the acid reflux went away. And maybe it's just coincidental. I don't know, but that's what happened for me. And
Wow, that's very interesting.
I stopped drinking the milk when I stopped doing the yogurt. So that's another thing that I have to start drinking is my skim milk every day because for some reason my body wants that milk, you know, and I'm not drinking. And I don't know why I stopped. I don't know. My whole eating habits kind of started changing, and I just didn't want to. I started eating a lot of junk food. It was really bad. So I have to get right back on the beam again, like the healthy eating beam, and start cooking more for myself like I stopped doing, you know, and that's the key. The key is to really just, you know, be good to yourself that way. And sometimes it's difficult. You know what happens? It happens October around Halloween. I wish they'd do away with that holiday. It's good for the kitties. I guess they like it. It's great for the dentist. But it starts me like eating candy in October, and then I'm eating candy, you know, not the good kind of candy, even the crummy kind of candy. So I don't want that in my body. It literally makes me have an upset stomach, to tell you the truth. Sugar.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
If I eat milk chocolate, I can't even eat milk chocolate. So anyway, okay, now we're in college. We talk about these things in increments, your life, and then I go off on a tangent of mine, you know, that's the way I am. So now we're going to get back. So you were very active in high school and very beautiful, of course. I almost put this in the promo. I put not only is she a you wouldn't want to miss the show. I had something about, and she is so dang beautiful, too.
Thank you.
I better take that out. I better not. I'm so schmoozing. People go, eh. Like, you know, what's her name? Joan, who I love. You know, God bless her soul, the comedian. Joan. Rivers. Joan Rivers. People are going like, eh. Me, you know, Nancy, like putting their finger in their mouth because I'm so schmoozy, but it's true. And anyway, so here we go. College. In your college
days.
Yes,
college. I went to school in New Orleans. I went to Tulane University.
Oh,
and again, another food place. Food is like the theme there. So probably the best, among the best 4 years of my life, I made the greatest friends for the rest of my life. Well, I was down there, and it's great because I travel a lot for work, and I'm blessed that I have friends in just about every major metropolitan area, so I'm never having a shortage of people to connect with when I'm on the road.
That's great. That is great. You're so personable anyway. When I met you, it was like, okay. It's like they say, I have this, I'll send it to you in a private message. It has a beautiful redhead with really long, long hair. And one of my favorite animals, the owl, and this gorgeous red owl. And she's holding the owl. And the owl is blending into her almost. And it just has this little thing, and it's about your tribe. When you meet your tribe, like you know them. And it's like some people
right.
you meet, and you just have like an instant connection, like a connection with. And that's how I felt about you when I met you. You're just very
yeah.
open. And friendly and real. You're just real. And, you know, a lot of people today, I get around a lot, too. And believe me, a lot of people, they still have, like, a lot of, I guess, barriers or walls or whatever it is up or mistrust or I don't know what it is. I can't really pinpoint it for each person. It may be something different. And I think I might have been that way many years of my life. But at my age, it's like, oh, what the heck? Anything goes. When you, the older you get, you do acquire some wisdom. And you realize
yes.
also that your time on earth is like, you know, you value so much more. You value your time. And you want to have the richest life, and you welcome more into your life. I think you're more open, for me anyway. It was very great meeting you, and your husband as well is very warm
Thank
and
you.
Friendly and open. And you guys make such a handsome couple. You make such
oh,
a beautiful
thank
couple.
You.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So,
thank you.
So
thank
yeah.
you.
So, yeah. Oh, go ahead and talk. I'll tell you some other time about New Orleans, but I was on Bourbon Street and it was a very great experience of mine. So, and I love, of course, the music and the jazz and all that. But so, in college, from when did you really start? You were probably very active in college as well, you know, with your public speaking and being involved in things. So tell us a little bit about that. What propelled you from college into, you know, where you are today?
Well, I mean, this is actually my third career. So, you know, for people who say they're not sure what they want to do or what, you know, where they think they want to be, you know, 5 to 10 years from now, I think that that's okay. I mean, that used to always be that question, right? So give me your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan. And now I'm like, well,
right.
I don't know if that's appropriate because, you know, life can change and, you know, maybe somebody who didn't feel comfortable pursuing something in school or professionally, they go out in the world and they're working and then they figure out maybe they found their passion and want to find something else to do. I mean, I'm very lucky in that I got some great advice from somebody who suggested that when I was contemplating getting a master's in journalism, she said, you know, there are a dime a dozen. Why don't you, around here, I used to work at ABC News in New York for the network, and she said, instead of getting
right.
a master's in journalism, why don't you go to school for something you're passionate about and see if you can't work it back into media? And that's exactly what I did.
Okay.
So, you know, I worked full-time during the day. I went to school full-time at night, which is probably why I get upset with people that fake being health experts because they, you know, took a course or they read a book or, you know, they just think they're
right.
all-knowing because, you know, I went to school. I took out student loans. I went to school for 3 years to get a double master's degree. I took another year to do a supervised internship, you know, because that's just the right way to go about getting into my profession. And, you know, all those other
right.
folks that just are taking those shortcuts are doing, you know, indirect harm to people by not getting the right training.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree with you. There's a lot of people out there. Well, believe me, Felicia, I have been to doctors who, I have a very challenging back, we'll put it that way, and just ended it there. But I've been to many doctors, and sometimes I just go, you know what? Well, my father used to say this. He was a real pit. My dad was like an Archie Bunker, and he was a self-made man, and he didn't even graduate from high school, and he became superintendent of one of the largest construction companies in Asbury Park. And he refurbished the Berkeley Carteret and all that. But my dad was so funny, and he would say, never go to the doctor. Don't go to the doctors. The doctor will kill you. And then he would go, don't go to the hospital. No, if you're dying, don't even even go to the hospital because they'll kill you there. He just had this horrible fear and hatred of doctors. Phobia, you know. And I laugh about it now, but it's true. And, you know, his whole life, I only knew him to go to the hospital like twice, and it was because of serious injuries that happened to him on the job. When was he when he was building clothes? But anyway, yeah, and so that's what he was saying, don't go. And my father never, like with all the children my father didn't have, I would go, Dad, are you going to go to the hospital to see the new baby? Like, you know, my father would say. And I'm the oldest, a big girl, I have an older brother than me, and then there were seven of us. So I said, he would go, I'll see that baby enough when it gets back. He wouldn't even go. He would go pick my mother up. That's it. I mean, he was an Archie Bunker. I swear to God, he was so funny in a way. And then he would never go. He only came into the hospital once, and he had a bag with him. He absolutely had a fist in the bag. My father, liked his drink. So he would cut. I had my tonsils out. I was 18 years old, and I was so sick. I'm not kidding. It was the sickest I can ever remember being in my life. And I was in the hospital, Jersey Shore Medical Center, for 6 days. I guess maybe they exploded or something. It looked like I had swallowed a football. When they took that, they swabbed my throat, and then they made me wait a day, and then I went in and they took them out. 6 days for tonsillectomy? Hello? Anyway, my father came in, and he was white as a ghost. But he was really, I was his oldest daughter and his princess, his first daughter. And he came into the hospital with my mother to see me on maybe the fifth day. And I'll never forget that. It must have taken, and he must have been really drunk to do this. He had the bottle with him. I was hardly talking. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing with alcohol in a hospital? That's against the rules. But anyway, getting back to you. Yes, our parents, they have big influences on us, don't they? I think that's where I get my sense of humor from, is from my father, because my mother was more of a singer and actress, and my mom got her master's degree when she was almost 70 years old at Monmouth University or whatever. It was
that's wonderful.
Yeah, and she had her own sewing business. She was a tailor. She would make, like, wedding dresses and bridesmaids dresses, and she was, like, unbelievable. Did all that hand-stitching things. But this is about you. Let's get back. I usually tell, in fact, from now on, I'm going to rewrite and have it on the side of me, my show for January, because I have to say this to my guests in the very beginning of the show. This is a must. Interrupt me.
Oh,
just do it, please.
I'm a polite guest on the show.
Everybody's too polite. No, you have to interrupt me. When I did my first show with Jenny Reynolds in New York City after my release of my CD, that's what Myra Channing told me. She said, Nancy, I'm going to tell you right now, when you go in there, interrupt him. And if you don't interrupt him, you will not get one word in edgewise. And, of course, that's my problem now. That's why I have my chatter teeth on my desk here. I usually had a sign. That didn't. Nothing works with me. I used to ask the guys at the, you know, the booth that were running the show when I did live to put their hand up to tell me. Then I had a two-minute thing. I said, I can't have that, or a minute thing. I said, where's an egg timer? I need an egg timer, a minute egg timer. I don't think they make them. They only make 3 minutes. I can't even find a 3-minute egg timer. But anyway, getting back to you and your wonderful career. So tell me your three careers. 1, 2, 3.
My first career is I was a paralegal at a big Wall Street law firm thinking I wanted to be a lawyer after college. And that was probably one of the best work environments to be in as a 22-year-old because I learned the most impeccable business skills while working there. I learned great research skills, office protocol. I learned how to work very hard and very efficiently because in those days you used to have to fill out these timesheets where you'd have to literally account for every 15 minutes of your day had to be billable to a client. And if you took too long to do something, somebody would make you feel bad about it. Like, why did it take you so long to proofread that document? You know, that shouldn't have taken you that long. So it wasn't about making mistakes. It was just learning how to work efficiently, which I think is like a dying skill and a dying art. But from there, I went to go work at ABC News doing licensing for the network news division, and I worked there for 5 years. And as I said before, I started going to school at night, and I worked there during the day. So it was really great. I'm a big news junkie. I was in the CNN incessantly in my
car.
Kudos
to you. Kudos to you. I wish I could see some of your stuff.
Yeah, and I just love, you know, I just like to know what's going on in the world and in politics and current events and in people. And, you know, I think ultimately beyond what I do in my private practice, and, you know, I do a lot of work in the media, I ultimately enjoy storytelling too. So that's something that I do get, a good charge out of doing when I've had opportunities to write or to do some other media projects on my own.
Right. Right. Can we find you, like, on iTunes or YouTube or any clips of you when you were working in the news, with the news shows?
There's clips of me all over the internet. I used to host a show on TLC called Honey, We're Killing the Kids. So I guess if you just put my name in and you Google me, you can find all kinds of stuff. I have about 140 media hits a year. So I'm interviewed a lot.
Wow.
I write, you know, but upon request, and so I'm definitely out there.
Well, you know,
in the media. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I
was the worst student in the world, so I don't know how I landed into this position that I'm in here, but okay, I'm not going to talk about me. Okay, so now number two. You already covered a few things. So where you are today, how did you, like, spin off into, you know, kind of really being on, you're having your own business and being your own boss, which is, I think, the best in the world.
Well, since I've been in this field, I've really only been my own boss. So that's really all I know. I mean, I've had times where I've been doing other projects, like I teach at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm not teaching this semester. Right now, I'm working on a special project for them. But, you know, ultimately, you have a boss when you do that too, right? Or if I do consulting work,
of course,
I ultimately have someone that I'm reporting to. But for the most part, I get to pick and choose the work that I do, which is really exciting.
Right, right. Well, you know, we have two, like, Rutgers, the biggest Rutgers fans in, like, the entire world, and that's my good friend, good pun, Charlie Stone, and I introduced him, and I kept telling him, like, I have this great friend, Calvin Schwartz. You have to meet Calvin. And Calvin worked for a great company called New Jersey Discover TV, and they are the ones that did our documentary for the party. And it's so funny how it was such a surprise for everybody, our birthday parties. I know I'm going off topic here right now for a second. But I introduced the two of them, and they have the same initial CS, and they are both Rutgers fanatics. And so I'm so happy that I was able to be involved in getting the two together, because they're best buddies now, and they do all the Rutgers things together. And of course, I knew the perfect gift for Charlie. I ran out and I went over to JCPenney, and I happened to see, like, all the Rutgers things. So I got him this fabulous Rutgers shirt, and then I went to Asbury and I got him a great Greetings from Asbury Park shirt that is in our documentary. How did you know that? I'm like, hello. You know, I'm a people observer. I've always been a people watcher, and I worked in Manhattan for 8 years. And I agree that, like, there's nothing like learning from working, like, you know, work experience is great. Also, there I go again. I'm off the beaten track here. So you're traveling all over at the world and doing exciting things. And I just got a 90-second thing, but this isn't right now because I've changed my show now. My show isn't just a half an hour anymore. My show is like 45 minutes and can even go up to an hour if I want. But since I'm doing this online, I'm like, God, what am I going to talk about? An hour? An hour? I don't know. Unless I put music in the beginning and music at the end, which I can do now. I don't know. I'm still thinking about what I'm going to do. But they haven't, Blog Talk Radio haven't, they haven't changed it, even though they're probably going to start charging me now to do my shows. I've been doing my shows for 2 years and it hasn't cost me a cent, which is great. But now they're going to be charging, which is all right with me too, because I love doing this and I just do two shows a month. And you know, I was just nominated again in the category of Top Radio Personality Supporting Local Talent at the Asbury Music Awards, so I'm very thrilled. I'm just astonished that I would be picked out, because it's mostly national radio shows, and I'm just very, very honored to do that. But, and everybody comes to me every day. I get somebody else saying, we want to come on your show, and somebody told us about you, and we have to have you. And so So I'm getting people like you, great guests to come on, you know, great women guests.
That's so fun.
I need
fun.
More women guests. Well, I need more women guests because I just had Sunda
because Kusa, women rock. Because women rock.
Huh?
Right. I said
well,
because
absolutely.
Women rock.
I've always said that. Yeah, I've always said that. But, well, the reason I'm called Ryan Rocks is because I used to go down to the beach on the rocks, and I would take my guitar down there and sit on the end of the rocks, and I would meditate, and I would play guitar. And so that's where I got the Ryan Rocks. That's why it's the name of my CD. But getting back to women, I thought, you know, it's who I had met being out at a comedy show promoting my friend Mike Marino. He's the, you know, the bad guy of New Jersey or whatever they call him, New Jersey's bad boy. I met Sunda, and Sunda, when I went to do her promotion, she didn't tell me anything. Ah, you can do it, Aunt Abby. You can do it. Go ahead. So I did, and I go on to the photos, and I go, holy moly, there's Whoopi Goldberg. She's in the middle of Whoopi Goldberg and Joyce Behar. Oh, my God. I made it big. You know, it's all about me. You know, right? I said, wow, I made the big time. Because of Sunda. Sunda, thank you so much. And then I told her, you know, and she's like, oh, Nancy, come on. You're a trailblazer. I said, I am? Well, that's news to me, honey. That's news to me. I'm just a, you know, redheaded Jersey girl, Irish Catholic girl from Asbury Park, New Jersey, you know. And everything's happened for me later in life. So I'm blessed. God has blessed me richly. I never believed that I would be doing what I'm doing, like right this very moment. And this is just, like, I've been doing this 4 years now. It's just the beginning. You can critique me. You can tell me what you really think after the show. You really do. Well, my family's song for me is "You Talk Too Much." You know, sometimes I just come out and start singing it on the show, but I won't. I will spare you that pleasure. So what else do you want to tell us, Felicia? I mean, we promo you, and you with everybody has even your telephone number and can get in touch with you. I mean, Felicia's phone number here, folks. Go on my promo, and it's my promo shows they're all archived. So just go on. Her phone number is 732-946-4436. She has to go, and she's everywhere. Oh my gosh, she's like everywhere you can find her. And I told you all about her anyway. She's the author of Living Skinny and Fat Jeans. How many people do want to read that? Like every female that I know. The healthy way to lose weight and, you know, and feel great. Yes, I want to lose. I want to, yeah, because, you know, I've been eating things that put, like, on my hips, like women, we all gain it in the same place. The stomach, the hips.
Right.
And then Honey was killing the kids. I got to go watch some of them. That sounds so, it reminds me of Honey, We Shrunk the Kids, the movie.
Right.
and you're available for private, you know, private.
I do have a private in Red Bank. Yes, I have a private practice in Red Bank and can work with people virtually as well and online and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real fun field to be in. And, you know, I just would like everybody to know that the healthy choice is the easy choice. You just have to make it.
Exactly. And you know what I find? That it is so much easier to achieve your goal if you have support. It makes such a difference in the world. I'm looking right now at a big pile. Here I go again, telling my private life, but a big pile. But I have been really sick for the first time in 26 years. It's the truth. I've been very fortunate there. But I'm looking at a big pile of laundry that's didn't even make it. Finally, I just said, oh, forget the baskets. It's just getting thrown from one side of the room over to the other on the floor. Like, I love basketball, and I always thought, oh, I'm great. I'll just throw it into the basket. I usually hit it. It's all over the floor, and it's like, I need motivation. It's not what I need in my life. When I've had a big move or something like that, or if I had a breakup and I was sad and unhappy, I would have you reach out to my girlfriends or to my church, you know, and I just having somebody there to say, you can do it, just to cheer me on, like, and you can do it, or be there and say, when was the last time you wore that, Nancy? And I would say, in high school, and they'd go, okay, there, Goodwill. I mean, it's like, I'm not exaggerating. I do have a sweater from high school still that I refuse to part with. It's a black mohair, and it's a button-down. It's gorgeous, and it's in good shape, so I keep things nice. But getting back to that, you need motivation. Really, it helps a lot. And somebody that knows what they're talking about. And sometimes your search is over, people. Your search is over if you're looking for somebody, you know, that knows all about food and health and This is the one, the expert. She's America's health and wellness expert. She just has to learn how to tell me to shut the heck up. Oh, God. It's been so great having you.
Oh, it's been great being a guest on your show. Thank you. What?
No, I think I did pretty good. I try not to break myself too harshly. But I think, really, if you listen to some of my other shows, forget it. I'd be embarrassed when I was done. There I go. See, there I go. Because I have all these stories. Well, I'm 70. I have a lot of stories. I have my friend Bob Polding on. He's a very popular band, the Bob Polding Band. So I can't.
Is he next?
No, he was on my show years ago. So we were.
Okay.
And he goes, come on, Nancy, let's play basketball. And we're playing. I thought I was playing basketball on heels. I promoted the 9/11 show for Michelle Moore, East Street Band, for 13 and a half years.
Right.
I promoted her 3 times. But anyway, he goes to me. I said, so, and I was kind of teasing him. I said, so, Bob, how did you like your show, you know? Are you kidding me? Get serious, Nancy. Are you kidding me? He goes, I didn't know what. I said, yeah, because you called me before the show and said, can we do 15 minutes instead of a half an hour? I have a Jets game to be at, and I'm going to be on the road in my car. And I said, you were just so not even there. You weren't even present. I had to say, hello, are you awake? Are you still on the show, Bob? I love Bob. Don't get me wrong. Hey, Bob, if you're listening, you can come back on the show, and I promise I'll put duct tape on my mouth or something. But Felicia, I'm really so excited to have you on the show. You got to come back again someday.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll definitely do that.
Please share anything else. I think you got everything. Like Sunda said, as long as the guests got out their point, even if they just got it out in 5 minutes, Nancy, you did your job. Of course, I don't.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was great fun.
Anything else?
No, it's all good. I'm easy. I'm totally an easy.
Well, everybody, like I said, this is going to be archived for all time. When I went back to my blog show, I had been away for 2.5 years, and when I went back, my first episode was there from 9/13/13. That was my very first show. So, 2/11. Oh, I don't know what it was. I have to go back and look again. But anyway, it was a pleasure having you. And,
it was a pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah.
And you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. I wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes, the same to you. Oh, by the way, I'll let you know, because I was going to do this anyway, a shout-out for a very, very talented fellow that I happened to see, who opens for another fabulous entertainer. His name is Poindexter. And this fellow's name is Anthony D'Amato. And I only saw him once, about 8 months ago. And this is what I do when I'm out. I go out, and if I like somebody, I'm going to talk to them and get them on my, you know, radio list. I have already 100 cards waiting to come on my show, but I'm always looking for new people and new things. And he is in a band called Remember Jones. And he also was nominated in the category of Top Live Perform Entertainment Band and Best Song of the Year. So, people, if you don't have anything to do New Year's Eve, I want you to know that Nancy Ryan Rock, my friend Good Time Charlie Stone, and I won't mention my other friends' names because they're not public, you know. But if you come, we're going to get together and go to the Asbury again, New Year's Eve. And Remember Jones is the featured band of the evening. And the entertainment starts at 8 o'clock. And call the Asbury up and make a reservation, because it's going to be a great, great time if you're one to go out. I usually stay home on New Year's Eve, but my friend that likes to drag me out to different places, and I always thank her afterwards, insisted that we go out this year because we've been in a lot due to back problems, both of us. So we're going to Asbury, so come and join us. And with that, I'm going to thank you once again for being my guest. And now it's the time of my show when I go through all of my nonprofit organizations, which I have many, and they have all been on my radio show as personal guests. And I'm so happy to have them. And this time of year, and every time of year, please go. And if you have any time, talent, whatever it is you have to offer, volunteer, because we all know that it helps us more than the people we're helping. Thank you so much. You can hang up and you can go away.
Oh, okay. No. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure and honor having you. Thank you for all
thank
of the
you.
Fabulous tips that you gave us. And I certainly will be recommending you to all of my friends that need help.
Oh, thank you. You're
area.
Such a gem. You're
need-
such a gem.
Yeah, yeah,
I so appreciate
you
it.
You know what? Felicia, we all need you. We all need this. This is the most important thing. Because without
yeah.
your help, and well, without that, you have nothing. It's honest to God, the truth. Everyone knows it, and we got to get with the program here because we need doctors like you that are right on
oh.
to help us and coach us into being healthy and happy.
Thank
we,
you.
We need that.
I
we need
so
that
appreciate
support.
It. All right, have a great day, honey.
Yep. And I hope I
you got it.
See you again soon, I'm sure.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Husband. Oh, you too. Bye-bye now. Okay, folks. Well, that was a wonderful, wonderful show. And what a great gal. What a great gal. Full of, you know, her, the knowledge that she has is like just, you know, we touched the surface, the tip of the iceberg with Felicia. So, I'll get into my nonprofits. Each have been on my radio show, and they are Minister Steve Brigham, and he is 10th City of Lakewood. Gregory and Karen Nixon, I should, you know what? I need my glasses. This will be so much better. Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey. Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio. Deb Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. Carlos Rodriguez, who is the director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties. Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Holiday Express, the founder, Mr. Tim McClune, who is also a fantastic musician and owner, restaurateur of many, many wonderful restaurants, including the Supper Club in Asbury Park, one of my favorite places for great food and exquisite. I should I think I have to turn that around, exquisite food and fantastic entertainment. And then we have the Info Age Science History Learning Center and Museum. My friend, Patricia Ario Artist, who is known by me and by many others as the Tilly Artist. We also have my latest not-for-profit, and that is Mr. Philip Richards, the director of Jersey Shore Rescue Mission on Memorial Drive in Asbury Park, New Jersey. They have an absolutely fantastic, fantastic thrift shop, too. It is enormous, and the first time I went in, I picked up the most gorgeous pair of earrings there for the holidays. And they were marked for like $8, and I went over the counter and he goes, well, that'll be $5. Is that good? Oh, my gosh, I said yes, and they have beautiful things in there. So, and also, so those are my not-for-profit organizations. Please get in touch with any of them. They're wonderful people. And I do have one sponsor. My sponsor is Dr. Inna Stillman, and we do a barter, and she's so wonderful, and she's given me a Hollywood smile, believe me. And she is on Smiles on Broadway. She and her husband have 3 dental offices, and the newest one is right in Long Branch, just past, it's right before Dunkin' Donuts on Broadway in Long Branch, New Jersey. Please go see Dr. Stillman. She is the best, and she will work with you as far as finances are concerned and payment plans, and she is really the best. Just when you meet me or if you know me, just check my teeth out. They are looking good. All right, folks. Again, it's been a wonderful Thursday night. Good night to everybody, and take care. Bye-bye.